From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Carolina Beach is the largest of the three beach towns in New Hanover County. At an estimated population of a little more than 6,000, it's more than double the size of the next largest, Wrightsville Beach. Median household income is around $60,000, higher than nearby Wilmington. The town is governed by a council made up of four members and a mayor. Today, we're going to meet two of the five candidates seeking a council seat in Carolina Beach. We'll also meet the man challenging Mayor Dan Wilcox for his seat this year. Each candidate will talk one-on-one with me today, answering my questions and yours. The way for you to get your question in during this live Thursday edition is by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. You can also call us at 910-343-1138. And remember, each candidate appears in only one segment. Today's candidates join us in an order randomly chosen before the show. Joining me now is Sarah Freedy, who has worked as a trial and appellate attorney in Los Angeles. She moved to Carolina Beach 18 years ago. She has two sons, one in high school, the other in middle school. And her law practice is primarily focused now on real estate. She worked for a renewable energy practice group at a firm in Winston-Salem for the last couple of years, and now she says she's back in Carolina Beach full time. This is not her first foray into local government in Carolina Beach. She served on town council from 2011 to 2015. Sarah Freedy, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. It's nice to be here.
Good to have you here. Just want to clear this up at the beginning. You say that you chose not to run again in 2015, but you were on the ballot and came in seventh out of nine candidates. Steve Shuttleworth and Tom Bridges won the two seats that year. Can you explain?
Yes. When I filed for re-election in July, I had not been offered the position yet in Winston-Salem. And it was a really wonderful opportunity to work with a fantastic practice group, and I have long believed that we need more renewable energy, and it was a very, very hard choice, but the opportunity to work with that practice group I felt was something that I had to take. So unfortunately, it was too late at the time for me to pull my name off of the ballot, but I did my best to spread the word so that I wouldn't have people waste their votes. And I feel very badly that people did, in fact, vote for me when I had tried to make it as clear as possible that I could not serve, and I regret that my name was on the ballot
and
at the time.
I do remember in 2015 we had a candidate forum for the candidates in Carolina Beach, and you did tell us exactly that you were no longer an active candidate. So tell us why Carolina Beach needs you on its town council.
Well, I think one of the beauties of a council form of government is that the citizens can choose people with different backgrounds, different skill sets, and together, the team can hopefully think their way through the problems that the municipality faces. I think my skill set is analysis and research. There are some other skill sets that some other council members have that I'm in awe of. Steve Shuttleworth, for instance, has a calculator for a brain. His ability to look at numbers and have them make sense is fantastic, and we need that on council. But I think that I go deeper into issues than some other people do, and there have been some decisions over the years where, even going way back, if I think council had known more at the time, they would not have made the decisions that they made.
Give us an example of one of those decisions.
Well, I think it's the road diet some years back. And again, nobody wanted to have the traffic backups and the angry merchants and the angry tourists and the angry residents. There was no ill intent, obviously, in that decision. But I think perhaps if more thought had gone into it up front, the road diet would have never been put upon Carolina Beach.
Now, is that something you lived in Carolina Beach at the point that was
yes.
implemented? Is that something that you foresaw being a problem, or do you think that had you been on council, you would have been able to sort of analyze it enough to say, wait a minute, this is what we're not seeing?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that a lot of people at the time thought no good could possibly come out of it because there just didn't seem to be a way to allow all the traffic to flow through. And we were at the time experiencing more volume of traffic. And so I'd like to think that I would have said, wait a minute, let's dig into this a little bit deeper. But I don't know, and I'm certainly not intending to cast any aspersions on any of the people who made that decision. That's just one of the things in Carolina Beach that constantly comes up as if we knew then what we know now.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Our focus today is Carolina Beach. With us now answering your question, Sarah Freedy. She's seeking a seat on Town Council in Carolina Beach. You can ask your own question during this live Thursday edition by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. Or giving us a call at 910-343-1138. Dredging of the Carolina Beach Lake was suspended last month after the U.S. Army expressed concerns about dredge material from the lake being deposited at the wrong location. That's according to the Island Gazette. Now the project could increase by about $500,000. What went wrong there, and how would you move this forward if you could take it over?
Well, first of all, Rachel, I think it's important to understand that this is not a time to panic. That $500,000 number that was in the Gazette is worst-case scenario, and it does fall on the town manager, of course, to present council with the worst-case scenario. In everything, every expenditure, every policy, you always have to look at worst-case scenario, and you have to plan for worst-case scenario. So that $500,000 number was the scenario that was put out by Michael Kramer to say it could cost the town this much. That number is based on a more or less off-the-cuff number that was thrown out by the contractor about how much the contractor thought that it would cost to transport the material off island, the additional trips. But the town is very actively negotiating with the contractor to reduce that basically per diem, or the daily loss to the contractor for no work as well as the cost of shipping off island. And I know that our council members and our manager are actively seeking alternative locations for the fill material. We've had the town got some environmental tests back that showed that it was clean fill. We also got some back that showed that it had higher than normal levels of arsenic. But again, arsenic is a naturally occurring material in the soil. Some samples came back with zero arsenic. So the town is also needing to work its way through those. So if we believe that it's clean fill, which we do think that it is, that opens up more possibilities for where we can put the fill. The town has some property back off of River Road that's an option. There was another site, in fact, that was given to Michael Kramer to find out more about just this morning. So it's not a time to panic. Yes, $500,000 is a lot of money, but again, this is an area where more research, more information means that council can make the best possible decision and not just panic and make a knee-jerk decision.
And I don't want to spend too much time on this question, but just in terms of planning this project, was there some oversight? I mean, is it on the contractor or is it on the planning for the placement of the dredge material in the first place?
Well, we had, the town has a permit, had a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers. And the town thought, in good faith, that where it was allowing the contractor to dump the fill material was within the permitted area. There's a new colonel over at Montsou. He's been there for a couple of months. And our permit was not brand new. I guess it had to be pulled off the shelf a little bit and dusted off. And so should the contract, well, again, the town thought that what we were doing was okay. There's a legitimate straight-faced argument on the town side that we really did think we were complying with the permit, with where we were dumping. So I don't think that the wise thing to do necessarily is to spend a lot of time pointing fingers, figuring out who's to blame. All right, complain about it, gripe about it, but let's move on. Let's solve it.
Is there some relationship mending or relationship improvement that might take place between the town of Carolina Beach and Montsou?
We're certainly hoping so. The town historically was not a very good neighbor or tenant for many years. And that was actually one of the first issues that we addressed when I was on council in 2011. There had been some problems brewing for a long time that council didn't know about. And so the town has worked very hard over the last several years to improve relations and have more direct communication with both the military and their civilian staff. But obviously, it's time for a couple more mea culpas. Relationships can always be better, but that is obviously a priority for the town because we do have to be a good neighbor and tenant.
Do you think the town of Carolina Beach should make an effort to ban smoking on the beach?
I was on council when we tried that a few years ago. Smoking on the beach to me is two issues. One is the litter and one is the public health hazard. It's state land. We are the stewards of that land. We are the stewards of the environment. From an environmental perspective, we have to look at cigarette butts as the most littered item in America and say, not on our beach. But I also think it's fair to say that if people want to smoke in their own homes or on private property, that's fine. But people who come to our beaches shouldn't necessarily expect to be subjected to secondhand smoke. And I think that's fair, too. That smoking is banned on public property. Everywhere else, you can't go to the state house and smoke because one person's rights end where the other person's rights pick up. And when you're on a beach, you can't direct where the smoke goes.
The town of Carolina Beach has an ad hoc plastic bag committee, which for several years working to reduce the usage of single-use plastic bags and ultimately eliminate them from the coastal environment. That's their mission statement, actually. And earlier this month, the state legislature repealed the plastic bag ban that the Outer Banks had in effect. How do you see the state's action through the lens of this town's own committee's mission? And where does that need to go, if anywhere?
I think it's very unfortunate that the state legislature revoked the Outer Banks' authority to do that. Carolina Beach was very heartened by the fact that the Outer Banks had that enabling legislation, and I think that that was a long-term hope for the beach. Regardless of the reasons behind it, that is apparently where our state legislature is now. So we probably shouldn't spend a lot of time and effort and capital arguing that point right now. We have other things that we need to do, which is not to say that banning plastic bags or reducing their use of single-use plastic bags isn't important, because I believe that it is. I think now we need to look at solutions that we can implement locally that we don't need authorizing legislation for. I think initiatives to promote reusable bags among businesses, down at the cashier level, encouraging people not to take a plastic bag for one or two products, providing a certain number of bags maybe to the merchants or to the residents until people get in the habit of it.
Beach nourishment, major concern, probably the biggest concern for stakeholders at the beach. The funding for shoreline stabilization is challenging at best. Is it time to update the formula? And how would you, if you were elected, leverage whatever power you had to help with that.
It is absolutely time to tackle that as one of the most important issues. We have to have the beach there, not only to keep the town alive, but to keep storm surge from taking over the town and flooding us entirely. The sand on the beach is what the Coastal Resources Commission says, that renourishing to keep the sand on the beach is the best one of the best alternatives to large-scale retreat or relocation, meaning if we don't have the sand there on the beach, we would lose the town.
So how do you pursue funding?
Well, I think there are a couple of ways that we can do it. It's great to say that the federal government should continue to provide that money, and obviously the town will continue to pursue that as an option. We need to convince the state that this is a resource worth protecting. The legislation that they recently passed said, yes, we'll commit some funds to it, but only if there are matching funds, which is really not a great deal of progress. I also think we need to reassess how much money we get from the room occupancy tax. More of that needs to come to us for sand.
Sarah Freedy, that's our time. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Rachel. It was a pleasure.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. When we come back, we'll meet Jodan Garza, who is running for Carolina Beach Town Council. We're taking your questions during this live Thursday discussion via email at coastline@whqr.org or phone at 910-343-1138. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.